This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
So I'm going to be talking about metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, understanding your diagnosis and your options. So what is metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer? So this is when essentially the prostate cancer has spread beyond the prostate, right? So now it involves the bones, it involves lymph nodes, and the term hormone-sensitive essentially means that the cancer is still androgen-driven and it responds to testosterone suppression. Now, why does this matter? So this is really, really important because treatment decisions at diagnosis shape long-term outcomes. The 8-year overall survival has now doubled in the past 10 years, and we know that upfront intensification of treatment is key. The one thing we look in hormone-sensitive prostate cancer is we categorize patients into having low-volume disease or high-volume disease based on standard of care scans, which are typically a CT scan and a bone scan. So patients who have high-volume disease typically have visceral metastasis, or they could have greater than 4 bony metastatic lesions. And this is, again, outside the spine and the pelvis. Patients with low-volume disease or low-burden disease typically have fewer bone metastases. They don't have any organ involvement. And the one thing I do want to mention is that we are increasingly using PSMA PET scans for staging prostate cancer, and this tends to upstage prostate cancer by 25%. And again, this really helps and help us decide about radiation and systemic therapy. So the long game here, again, is survival, and this has transformed over the past decade. So when you look at using ADT alone, the 10-year overall survival was just 22%. And again, when you look at ADT along with chemotherapy, docetaxel, the 10-year overall survival was 21%. And now compare and contrast that with using an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor, enzalutamide. The survival has nearly doubled to 50%, right? So we have moved a really, really long way in terms of improving survival in the hormone-sensitive setting. And there are some key prognostic biomarkers that we look at, and one of them is the PSA response. We look at the PSA response at 6 months. Is it less than 0.2? This is really important because this is also an independent predictor of overall survival. So what is the current standard of care for hormone-sensitive prostate cancer? The current standard of care is ADT along with combination therapy. So this is essentially an ARPI, an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor. The Advanced Prostate Cancer Consortium also kind of looked at adding additional treatment options to this combination therapy depending on the various states of prostate cancer. So essentially, you'll see a common theme here in this table. In patients with high volume disease, you could consider the addition of a docetaxel or chemotherapy to ADT and an ARPI. In patients who have synchronous low volume disease, you could consider the addition of radiation to the prostate and radiating the oligometastatic sites. In patients who have metachronous low volume disease, you could consider radiation to the metastatic sites. So again, we've talked a lot about chemotherapy or the addition of docetaxel. Who exactly benefits from the addition of docetaxel? So we have several biomarkers that help us with this decision. When you look at tumor burden as a biomarker, you can see in the Chartered study, when patients with high volume disease had a significant overall survival benefit compared to patients with low volume disease, and in fact, there was no survival benefit in patients with low volume disease. So this is why docetaxel is routinely not recommended in patients with low volume disease. There was another meta-analysis called the stopgap analysis, which essentially evaluated around 2,300 patients, and this confirmed the same thing. Patients with high metastatic burden tended to benefit a lot more than patients with low-volume disease. Now, let's talk a little bit about the role of radiation in the hormone-sensitive setting. I know the previous session, they've reviewed this in detail, but I quickly want to mention that in patients with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, we do consider prostate radiation, and there's a clear benefit, especially in patients with low-volume disease. We have several trials which have shown this benefit. In the STAMPEDE trial, prostate radiation improved the failure-free survival in patients with low metastatic burden, and in the PEACE 1 study, the addition of, again, radiation to abiraterone and ADT had an additional radiographic progression-free survival improvement. This benefit was unfortunately not seen in patients with high-volume disease. When we talk about radiation, in addition to radiating the prostate, we can also radiate oligometastatic disease. In the Aureole and the STOMP studies, what they found was when they radiate the metastatic site, we could potentially delay starting systemic therapy, and this improved progression-free survival. Again, PSMA PET is really essential here because this helps identify additional lesions that are not seen in a standard CT or a bone scan. And an open question in the field is, again, can SBRT or radiation, along with an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor, replace or defer systemic therapy? Emerging therapies in hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. So now we have several different emerging therapies which are really exciting. Some of them are FDA approved. We'll start with the PARP inhibitors. The Amplitude study evaluated. The Amplitude study evaluated the addition of niraparib, which is a PARP inhibitor, along with abiraterone and prednisone. And what they found was in patients with BRCA mutations, there was actually an improvement in radiographic progression-free survival. And that's why this was FDA approved recently in December 2025 in patients with BRCA2 mutant metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. So we've talked a lot about Pluvicto in the hormone-resistant setting, but this has also been evaluated in the hormone-sensitive setting in the PSMA addition study. So what they did here was they added lutetium PSMA 617 or Pluvicto to standard ADT and an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor, and they found that this did improve the radiographic progression-free survival in this patient population. There was a trend towards an overall survival benefit, but this has not been seen as yet. There's also definitely a role for next-generation sequencing in the hormone-sensitive setting because we do have AKT inhibitors which have shown overall survival benefit in the specific biomarker population. So again, every single patient should have next-generation sequencing that is done at diagnosis, because this will again help select which treatment option to start the patient on. If they do have BRCA mutations, then they could be eligible for abiraterone. If they have P10 or PIC3A mutations, then they could potentially be a candidate for a clinical trial involving these agents. And all patients should also have a PSMA scan, because again, if the PSMA expression is greater than 10, then they could be a candidate for Pluvicto. The other thing that we also check is if they have MSI high status. This can predict a response to immunotherapy. So again, as I mentioned, in terms of treatment strategy, upfront intensification is universal for all patients with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. All patients are typically treated with a doublet therapy, and the addition of docetaxel will depend on the volume of disease. If patients have low volume disease and they have a prostate primary in place, then you should definitely consider radiation to the prostate primary. And again, once patients have started treatment, you check the PSA in 6 months, you see if they're responding well. And at the 2-year time point, if the PSA is not detectable, and if they have a PSMA PET scan that is negative, you could potentially consider de-escalation of therapy and giving patients a treatment break. And then again, restart treatment once the PSA starts rising. We're also evaluating several novel endpoints in this setting, including treatment-free survival, testosterone recovery, looking at the PSMA PET response to standard traditional therapy, and also freedom from clinical events. So one thing we haven't talked about is quality of life, and this is really essential, right? Because all of these treatments have a lot of toxicities, a lot of side effects, they affect activities of daily living. So the Chortle study, which evaluated docetaxel, looked at quality of life, and interestingly, what they found was the quality of life was worse actually at 3 months, as you can expect, because chemotherapy is typically received during this period. And over a span of a year, the quality of life actually got better after they stopped chemotherapy when it was compared to ADT alone. They found that fatigue was significant initially, and then this improved again by the 6-month time point. When they looked at quality of life when evaluating an ARPI, in here I've taken the example of Enzamet study where they looked at enzalutamide, they found that the global quality of life was maintained, and fatigue and cognitive side effects were particularly seen, but this improved with dose optimization. When you look at Pluvicto again, there was no significant quality of life differences compared to an androgen pathway receptor inhibitor alone. But there were some grade 3 adverse events that were reported compared to the control arm. So looking forward, this is a snapshot of, you know, what you should be thinking of at diagnosis, induction, and on treatment. So at diagnosis, all patients should have a PSMA PET scan to see if there's PSMA expression, and also should have next-generation sequencing to see if they are eligible for biomarker-selected therapy. And again, when you start treatment, all patients should be treated with a combination therapy of ADT along with an androgen receptor pathway inhibitor. And again, they could potentially be eligible to intensify treatment if they have high volume disease. Once you have started treatment, it's important to assess PSA, again, at 6 months to see, I mean, we get it every 3 months, but at the 6 months time point, it's prognostic to see, you know, if they're responding well to treatment or not. And after a couple years of treatment, if the PSA is not detectable and they have PSMA negative disease, you could potentially give them a break. And, you know, follow testosterone recovery and then restart treatment when the PSA starts rising again. So this is my last slide here, and these are the key questions I want you to ask your oncologist, right? So you want to know, what your disease volume is the cancer synchronous, is it metachronous? Has my tumor been tested for BRCA2, the other HRR mutations? Is there P10 loss? What's the MSI status of the tumor? Should I have a PSMA PET scan? Again, what is the rationale of a specific ARPI therapy if you are on one? We should always ask if you're a candidate to add docetaxel or chemotherapy based on the disease volume, and is prostate or radiation appropriate for the current state? And more importantly, are there any clinical trials that you're potentially eligible for, and how and when will we assess treatment response? Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.